What's up, guys?
What's up?
All right, so my name is Matthew Haney. I am from Dallas, Texas. I have been blessed with this opportunity by coming on a three-week internship with John and Megan Lau. I'm glad to be here, be able to speak to you guys. And I also want to thank you guys for the opportunity for this. So the title for today's message is called Handprints. And the reason it's called Handprints is because God lays his hands on us at all times. And then I will dig further more into that as we go throughout the sermon. But I want to start off with a little story. So at my high school, I play football there, and I'm a quarterback. And there are a couple of the quarterbacks that go along with me through this season that we go through. And then after every practice, every game, every scrimmage that we have, we have my quarterback coach. We always huddle up as a position team, and then he always tells us what we could have done better, what we did great, that we need to keep our heads up, and that at the end of every meeting we have, he always tells us that he cares for us and that we're part of his family. That goes really deep because that shows that even though like we're not related, he still cares. He still cares for his group that he's always teaching. And coaches, they don't just coach for football. Coaches, they also teach and they also coach for the real life. In order to play football, you don't just go out there and think, okay, let's go do this. You got to have the right attitude and you have to have the right mindset. And that right there is also what we need to have in the real life. So the connection between this is coaches, they coach for the real life and they coach for the game. And fathers, they need to be able to coach their families for the real life and how God has told them to. So where we're going to be today, the big idea is fathers should reciprocate God's love for their families. So today, our main verse is going to be in Proverbs 3. It's going to be verses 11 and 12. I'll let you guys get there real quick. As you guys get there, I'm going to say that Solomon, he is the one writing this, and he's writing this to his son. This is verse 11 is instructions that he is telling his son, and verse 12 is how the result is. That's the result of what the following these instructions are. So I'm going to go ahead and read verse 11. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. Verse 12, "For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father of the son in whom he delights." So we're going to go on, and then my first point is fathers should not despise the Lord's discipline. So in this text right here, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline." Discipline has multiple meanings, but in this case, discipline means training. So when we despise the Lord's training, we are not accepting what we need to be reading here. Because this is where we get our training from. It's from reading the Bible. So fathers, fathers need to dig into the Word, and they need to train themselves. They need to train themselves before they go out and then help train others. And then it's also the little points that count, the little details. So in football, since I'm a quarterback, in order to be able to throw a 40-yard bomb, I can't just go out there, pick up a football, and do that. You know, it doesn't work that way. You have to have the correct form, correct techniques, and fundamentals. And that all comes from the practices. So you always have to have the right form, having your arms up, being able to twist your body. To get that's where the power comes from. But it's the little details. The little details are what help create the big picture. And if there are no little details, the result of what would be the big picture would be bad. And we don't want that. So that's where discipline is very strong. So I'm going to go to James 1 real quick. Mm-hmm. All right. So in James 1, I'm reading verses 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So the reason I use this additional verse is because right here, it says in verse 2, when you meet trials, and in verse 3, you know, for you know that the testing of your faith. That right there, those are examples of discipline that God has given us, our testings and trials. Without those, there is nothing we can learn from in the future. When we use these testings and trials, even though we may mess up, we learn from that, we discipline ourselves, and then the next time there's another testing or trial, we are able to do it correctly or do it right the first time. And then right here where it says, count it all joy in verse 2, that's how it starts off verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers. That right there is the same as in when Proverbs 3:11, when it says, my son, do not despise. Those right there mean the exact same thing. So when we count it all joy, that means we are embracing. When we don't despise, we are embracing what God is giving us. So, and also, it says trials and testing, those are our disciplines, so we must take those. We need to take advantage, embrace every type of discipline that God gives us. So now we're going to go on to point two. And point two is fathers should not be disgusted in the Lord's punishment. So in verse 11, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. So when we think of weary, we typically think of being tired, being sleepy. But in this case, that's not how it's being used. It's being used as disgusted. And reproof is usually as a change or adjustment, but in this case, it's being used as punishment. So it says here, or be weary of his reproof, that means that translates into do not be weary, do not be disgusted of God's punishment. So when we are disgusted of God's punishment, that means we are not willing to make a change. Because punishments, they always come after something bad. So for example, when a child decides to do something bad and the father says, no, don't do that, and they do it again, the child repeatedly keeps doing it and they say no. So after a couple times of saying no, the child goes back again, and then the father would be like, okay, fine then, have it your way. The child gets hurt. That right there is equivalent to God's wrath. God's wrath is not storms or hailing or lightning or anything, nothing massive. God's wrath is when he takes his hands off of us and lets us on our own. That right there is God's wrath. So whenever the father stops telling the child no, he hurts himself. Whenever God takes his hands off of us, we begin to go through to our own path, do our own things, and we begin to mess up even more. Therefore, we cannot learn. There is no more discipline when we decide to go our own way. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2:24. There's a lot of verses in here, so hold on, guys. All right, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, which is the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Right there, the last part of that verse says, by his wounds. That right there, that represents punishment. Those wounds that Jesus had through his hands, his feet, crown of thorns, being speared, being whipped. Those were all the different types of punishments that he endured. So those are just the examples of what happened, because had it not been for Jesus, that could have been us. That would have been us. Every single thing that he endured, a perfect man took our sins and put them on his shoulders and endured our punishment. He didn't have to do that, but he decided to because he loved us. And he endured our punishment. And to be disgusted in the Lord's punishment is to be disgusted in the cross. So if you're disgusted in the cross, then what's the point of it? If you're disgusted in punishment, then there's no need for change. That's why punishment from God is needed, because that right there changes lives. Jesus dying on the cross, that was our punishment, but he took that. That right there changes lives, if we're willing to accept. So fathers, they need to be willing to endure God's punishment, because that right there helps them learn. That right there helps them receive the discipline that they need. And if they don't endure God's punishment, they won't become better. They won't change. Therefore, they are not very capable of being able to lead. So, and point three says, fathers should delight in the Lord's handprint. The handprints represents the love of God. Like I was saying earlier, God has his hands all over us. God is always trying to mold us, trying to shape us, trying to fix us, make us better for what he has planned for every single one of us in the future. He has a plan. That's why he is always molding us, shaping us. He's preparing us. So I'm going to go to 2 Timothy. Let me go to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. And it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the handprints I was just talking about are said right here in this verse, which are the teaching, the reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. With teaching, this right here, this is how God teaches us. The Bible is how he teaches us. The fathers, they need to be willing to actually take the time to look at it, to read it, to understand what it is trying to say. For reproof, to make changes, they need to be able to make changes in their life when needed, in order to become a more godly role model to their families. Correction, whenever they are wrong, whenever they realize that they are in the wrong, they make the change and to become a better leader. And for training in righteousness, they're right there, training in righteousness. Training means discipline. We went over that. Therefore, when training in righteousness, when that is endured, you are training yourself to be standing in the presence of God in right. So whenever you train yourself for righteousness, you are making yourself more like God, because that's what Jesus was. That's what God is. He is righteous. So whenever we train ourselves for that, we are trying to become like Jesus, and therefore that makes the fathers an even better role model for their families. And now I'm going to go to 1 John. 1 John 5:3 says, For this is the love of God, and that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Right there, where it says, not burdensome. Jesus, God, is always commanding us, right? He's commanding us to do what we are supposed to do, what fathers are supposed to do as leaders. And the reason it says that his commandments are not burdensome is because fathers, they have obedience in Christ. And when they have obedience in Christ, therefore, that means they are delighting, they are being delightful in his handprints. Because his handprints make it easier. They make it easier for the commandments to be spread, for us to take action in these commandments. That's why they're not burdensome. And then right here, back in Proverbs, it says in verse 12, "For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." So, right there, it's just saying that when you obey the instructions that you are given by you are delighted because you are obeying what God is telling you to do. That right there is what changes lives. And so what I want everyone to take from this is that fathers, let God have your handprints on you before you put your handprints on someone else. Because you, as fathers, you can't lead. You can't lead a family in righteousness. You can't lead them in a godly way if you don't know what you're trying to do. Therefore, let God shape you, let God mold you, and show you how to lead in a godly way, and then you can go forth into your family, and then you can lead how God wants you to lead. And I also want to say that this doesn't just apply to biological fathers. This also applies to someone who has an influence on someone. So, an example of that would be for me. My father died. He passed away when I was in the third grade. So I don't have a biological father, but I do have a spiritual father, someone who influences me, and that would be my lead pastor at my church, who is Brother Mark, and then my youth pastor, who is Kyle Alonzo. They help lead me. They help me learn how not to be disgusted in punishment, how to not despise discipline, how to be delightful in God's handprints. Without them, those are my two big spiritual fathers right there, my leaders, my influences. And without them, I wouldn't be able to correctly understand what this is trying to say. So that's why that's what I'm saying. This is not just biological fathers right here. This is someone you have an influence on. And even though you may be a teen, you're not a father, you can still influence younger siblings, someone at school. This is what I'm trying to say. This isn't just for fathers. An example of this would be in 1 Timothy 1:2, where Paul says, "To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Timothy and Paul were not related at all. But he says right there, "My true child in faith." Paul led Timothy. He led him in righteousness because God shaped Paul. He formed Paul to be the missionary that he was, and then Timothy began to look up to Paul. And Paul took Timothy under his wing and began to mold him, guide him, and teach him what God has taught him. And he calls Timothy his true child in the faith. Therefore, meaning they are not related, but by through their faith together, they are family. And since Paul took charge, he becomes Timothy's spiritual father. So to recap that, let God's handprint be on you before you put your handprint on someone else. And this is not just biological fathers. It's for people who are influencing others in godly ways. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you have done for us, Lord. Thank you for using me today to speak to your children, Lord. But I also pray that not only they take something from this, but me as well, Lord, that I learn from what you have put together, that I be able to influence someone in my life and in the future. And I pray that we all have a good Father's Day for all the fathers out there, Lord. And I also want to just thank you for being the amazing, great Father that you are, Lord. You lead us, and then it's our turn to just react and take initiative to follow you, Lord. And all this now I pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to join us on this podcast from Church on the Rock here in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you would like any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.